Mr. Crowley will see you now. Part 3 of the Taboo Romances series. Written by Angel Snuffbox and read by Literarian. Summary. Sparks fly instantly when Aziraphale, conducting an interview on behalf of his sick roommate, meets the young, unfairly hot CEO Anthony J. Crowley. Truthfully, it's a miracle that Crowley even bothered to glance his way. But as their relationship grows, Aziraphale can't help noticing there seems to be more to being with him than there is in the usual dating scene. Chapter 1. Aziraphale tugged at the hem of his waistcoat for what was probably the 8th time since he'd set foot in the building. The glass-embedded structure of Crowley Enterprises must have been trying to compensate for something, because that lift right was a long way up. He stepped off the lift when the cold metal door slid open and gave a courteous nod over at the two ladies manning the reception desk.
Hello,
he said, his wide, winning smile fixed in place. It was a smile that he wielded at the ready, for it always seemed to get people to trust him easily.
I'm here for the 3:15 appointment with Mr. Anthony Crowley.
One of the receptionists glanced down at her laptop, humming as her red nails skimmed over the slim keyboard. Aziraphale couldn't help thinking back to the bygone era of the bulky box-like computers from his childhood. How one managed to fit those contraptions into metal cases no thicker than a file folder was beyond him. The receptionist perked up when she got to one cell of the spreadsheet. Yes, Mr. Pulsifer, is it? I'll inform him of your arrival.
No, actually. Mr. Pulsifer is sick with the flu. I'm just...
He trailed off into an awkward mumble. The receptionist didn't bother to listen to the rest of his speech, already turning away in the direction of a grand set of double doors down the end of the short hallway. Aziraphale gave a polite smile to the other woman by the desk, hunched over the phone and texting at breakneck speed. Her suit was an unfriendly steel grey, perfectly fitted to her frame and matching the coldness of her icy stare. Her hair was tied up into a high ponytail, and there was not a stray mark of makeup on her face. She acknowledged Aziraphale with a mere tip of her head, then resumed texting. All around him were sharp angles, boxes of thinly framed glass windows, floors and ceilings painted in the color of concrete. For a reception area, it looked not the least bit welcoming. There was a smattering of plants in some corners, but truth be told, they didn't look very happy to be there either. Aziraphale gnawed on his bottom lip, feeling very out of place in his comfy brown waistcoat and tartan bow tie. It was the nicest thing he could put together on such short notice. He was beginning to wonder how long he would have to stay out here when the first woman returned, nearly a head taller than him in her crimson-red stilettos. Her lips stretched elegantly into a close-lipped smile, hands clasped in front as she spoke. "Mr. Pulsifer," she said, inclining her head in the direction of the office behind her. "Mr. Crowley will see you now." Aziraphale held a strap of his satchel closer to his chest, unsteady feet moving him forward.
I'm not Mr. Pulsifer, I'm...
Mr. Crowley is in a bit of a hurry. If you could make this quick. Aziraphale nodded, trying to say thank you, but ending up mumbling uselessly instead. She held the door open for him, and he stepped through. The other side of the room was lined with floor-to-ceiling windows, the blinds only partially covering them. All the breath was knocked out of his lungs when he spotted a tall figure standing by a gleaming red desk, hip perched on one edge. Anthony J. Crowley, CEO of Crowley Enterprises. He was a lot younger than Aziraphale had been expecting, and he was taken entirely by surprise. Surely this man standing before him couldn't have been older than 30. Even so, his dark brown eyes scanned Aziraphale with such determined scrutiny that he could easily intimidate anyone in a room. Auburn hair, tousled to artistic perfection, burned almost orange against the afternoon sun. The all-black suit and tie that he wore fit him like a glove, tailored to the finest lines and sharp angles of him. Aziraphale didn't realize he'd been gawking until the door slammed shut behind him and he let out a startled yelp, jumping an inch forward on the floor. Mr. Newton Pulsifer. The man's long strides carried him easily in front of Aziraphale, where he extended a hand. Good afternoon. Aziraphale could feel himself burning all the way to the tips of his ears. Tentatively, he clasped Crowley's hand and gave it a firm shake.
Good afternoon, Mr. Crowley. Oh, but I'm not...
Just Crowley, please. Do have a seat.
Crowley swiftly turned away and waved a hand towards one of the two black leather chairs framing the desk. He set himself down on the other one, legs crossed. The urge to obey overtook Aziraphale so completely. He couldn't find a reason for it. Crowley simply seemed to have an air of command about him that made it clear that he was not used to being made to wait. He simply expected things to be done. Aziraphale walked over to the other seat, facing Crowley, and gingerly placed himself on it.
I understand from your mail that you are about to graduate soon, Crowley said, his chin tipping upwards. We have an internship program that you might be interested in applying for, if you haven't got anything else on.
Aziraphale's mouth hung open, confused for a few seconds as he lost himself in the very interesting rows of lines above Crowley's brows. He recovered quickly, clearing his throat and attempting to summon even just a shred of confidence.
Oh, I'm not Newton Pulsifer, he said, somewhat quietly. He couldn't make it today. I am only filling in.
At this, Crowley's expression shifted, eyes sparking with interest while he leaned forward on his seat. There was something slow and distinct in the way he moved. A tinge of sinister charm, almost like a snake. Aziraphale wasn't sure if he'd already managed to get rid of his blush because having Crowley relentlessly staring at him made him fluster pathetically. He gave himself a mental chiding.
It doesn't matter how unexpectedly young and hot he is. Act professionally. Besides, he's probably straight.
Then who are you?
Aziraphale managed a smile. This was a question he could answer very easily.
Aziraphale Fell. I'm Newt's roommate.
And you are also studying journalism?
He shook his head, suddenly feeling a little foolish for interviewing such a high-profile person without even having the proper background for it. To distract himself, he reached into his satchel and grabbed his notebook and pencil, gnawing on the corner of his bottom lip as he did so.
Then what do you study?
Aziraphale's head whipped up at the sudden question, not entirely sure why Crowley would be interested in knowing anything about him.
English literature, he said, barely tamping down the slightest urge to tack a sir at the end of his reply. I don't graduate until next year.
I see.
He glanced down at Newt's list of questions, eager to get this encounter over with so he could roll away the tension pooling in his shoulders. And maybe also get a massage.
Only think of those beautiful, long, skillful fingers digging into the knots of your back.
He hurriedly cleared his throat.
Ahem! Shall we begin with the interview?
Crowley gave a vague hand gesture that could only be interpreted as a flippant, if we must. Aziraphale took a deep breath, trying to calm his racing pulse as he set up the recorder and turned it on. He began to read from the list, his words rushed and half-mumbled.
You are one of the most accomplished CEOs under 30 in all of Europe. In the few years you've been working, you've managed to build an empire. To what?
To what do I owe my success?
Aziraphale pressed his lips together and glanced up at him.
Well, yes.
He couldn't decide whether he was more impressed or annoyed.
Let's just say that I know people,
Crowley said, tilting his head as if in thought, though his eyes never left Aziraphale.
I understand how they work and what they need to hear in order to get things done.
So you like to boss people around?
Aziraphale couldn't help asking.
If that's what you call it. But really, it's a lot more than that. It's about efficiency in the modern age, especially in the tech world. You don't get by with one-on-one convincing anymore. You need to always think big. See what all the trends are and sway the masses towards that even more. It's a really fast-pacing thing that requires a lot of concentration and so much more than just bossing people around, Mr. Fell. I like things done a certain way, and I guess that's what made me successful.
Call me Aziraphale, please.
For a moment, he forgot the list of questions in his hand and said,
So, you're a control freak?
The corner of Crowley's sharp mouth rode up high into a smirk, mischief painted on his enchanting eyes.
I exercise control in many things, Mr. Fell.
Aziraphale's heart stuttered a beat, though he wasn't sure what made that happen. Suddenly, he couldn't stand to stare at Crowley any longer. He dropped his eyes back to his notebook, mumbling,
Just Aziraphale, please.
Next question.
Your company is associated with a lot of charity work supporting various causes, though mostly centered around child education. Is this an issue that you feel to be particularly close to your heart?
Crowley leaned back on his seat, long fingers steepled under his chin.
I don't normally attend to such matters myself. I have someone who heads those initiatives.
Aziraphale couldn't help raising a brow of judgment at this. Crowley only smirked.
But if you really want something interesting to put on your school paper, feel free to make up any reason you want. Good press either way, isn't that what they say?
Aziraphale took a moment to ponder on this strange answer, surprised at how candid he was being. His brows furrowed as he absent-mindedly chewed at the tip of his pencil, swiping up the rubber to the corner of his mouth. Across him, Crowley shifted slightly in his seat. He scribbled down a few notes, because it felt like it was what he should be doing.
"Don't you have any interesting questions?" Crowley said, interrupting his quiet note-taking.
I'm not quite sure I know what you mean.
There's gotta be something. Come on, look at that list of yours and give me something exciting for once.
Puzzled, Aziraphale sifted through the list and scanned for something a bit out of the ordinary. He had to flip to the next page to do so, his pulse quickening as he felt the full weight of Crowley's eyes on him once more.
Let's see.
Yes, that's good.
A hot flush rose to his cheeks as he noted how deep and gravelly Crowley's voice had gotten. What was he even being praised for? Reading a bunch of words? Unable to bear the tension-filled silence a second longer, he settled on the first item that caught his eye and began to read.
For someone whose name must be plastered all over technological devices across the country, you sure tend to keep away from the public eye. Would you consider yourself morally gay?
Crowley's brows rose up.
I'm sorry.
Aziraphale gaped, staring at him with wide eyes.
It was written on the list.
That is, I think you meant
grey.
Aziraphale all but yelled, cheeks aflame once more and threatening to melt him into a puddle in his seat. Hands shaking, he scoured through the list again and cursed Newt's illegible handwriting.
I meant, would you consider yourself morally grey, sir?
He ended on a downright humiliating squeak.
Now that is an interesting question, Mr. Fell.
Aziraphale, please.
And to that I say, aren't we all at least a little bit on the grey side? We find comfort in thinking that everything must always be black or white. That everyone has to be on one side or the other. But humanity is far more complex than that, wouldn't you agree? And between you and me, it's much more fun playing around on the different shades of grey than choosing just one and sticking with that.
Aziraphale couldn't help but to be stunned at his answer. Then again, it shouldn't have been a surprise that Crowley was clever. It was unlikely that he'd have reached his current position if he weren't.
I agree,
he found himself saying, unable to keep looking into those intense brown eyes.
You make quite a point.
And as for your other question...
What other question?
Crowley scooted himself on the very edge of his seat, long legs spreading just a tad wider. Aziraphale swallowed around his suddenly dry throat, resisting the urge to glance down at his lap.
If I am, as you say, morally gay...
He tilted his head, seemingly shameless in the way he drank in the sight of Aziraphale. He spoke in a low rumble that sent fire in Aziraphale's stomach.
I tend to like all pretty things. What packaging they come in doesn't matter as much.
Azira felt chewed on his lip, his breathing coming hard and gusting warm air over his shaking hands.
Thank you for the clarification.
Is there anything else I could clarify for you?
Aziraphale's automatic response was to run his eyes through the list.
Enough of that,
Crowley said all of a sudden, his tone of command sending a frisson of heat down his limbs. Aziraphale dropped the notebook onto his lap.
I want to know more about you, he resumed. Tell me about yourself.
Aziraphale blinked in confusion.
Why?
Crowley shrugged.
You're interesting and I don't know much about you. I like interesting people.
There's really not much to know.
Aziraphale subtly tugged on his collar to relieve some of the heat sticking to the column of his neck.
You said you're studying literature. Who was it? Jane Austen, Charles Dickens, or Thomas Hardy that made you fall in love with the written word?
Struck by the arrogance in his tone, Aziraphale felt a spark of defiance rise up his spine.
Wrong on all accounts, he said, smiling smugly. It was Oscar Wilde.
Crowley did not look the least bit annoyed. Instead, a smile appeared on his handsome face, friendly and with just a hint of danger that Aziraphale was immediately drawn to.
I'd have guessed Jane Austen.
This time, Aziraphale held his gaze. He reached over to turn off the recorder just as a knock came at the door. The receptionist appeared shortly after. Your next appointment is here, Mr. Crowley.
Right, yeah.
Crowley waved her off without so much as a glance. He rose from his seat, smoothing the edges of his blazer down his taut stomach. Aziraphale rose as well.
I'm afraid our time is up, Aziraphale.
No, it's fine. I'm quite satisfied with these answers.
We barely even got to talk, though.
Honestly, it's only for the school paper. I doubt even Newt would have...
Crowley reached into the pocket of his coat to retrieve a small card pinched between two incredibly long fingers. Goodness! Was there anything about this man that didn't scream sexy?
If you happen to have any other questions, don't be shy to contact me.
This is very kind of you, but entirely unnecessary. I'm sure Newt...
No, please. I'd like you to have it, just in case.
Wordlessly, Aziraphale reached out and took the card. His breathing stuttered when Crowley's finger lifted slightly, trapping his own for a fraction of a moment. The smooth glide as they pulled back sent warmth skittering up his arm. His eyes flicked up to Crowley's face. Crowley winked. Oh God, he could not just be imagining this.
Let me walk you out.
Flustered, Aziraphale beamed shyly and nodded. He turned towards the door, stifling a gasp when he felt a warm hand press into his lower back. This close, he could almost get a whiff of Crowley's cologne. Oh, he was incredibly smitten. So inevitably doomed for this man. He was instantly disheartened when they reached the door and Aziraphale emerged back into the concrete-lined hallway. He glanced back at Crowley, wondering if he would ever get to see him again. Aziraphale had his number, but would he be brave enough to call him? One hand curled on the edge of the door, Crowley gave him one last sweeping look.
Aziraphale.
Crowley.
A playful grin crept up Crowley's face mere moments before the door shut between the two of them. Mr. Crowley will see you now. Part 3 of the Taboo Romances series. Written by Angel Snuffbox and read by Literarian. Chapter 2. Aziraphale didn't really think he'd be calling Crowley so soon. Or ever, to be frank. It had been a couple weeks since the interview, and sure, he'd added Crowley's number into his list of contacts, but he hadn't planned on actually calling him. But unmistakably, that was what he was doing at the moment, one shoulder leaning on the sticky wall of a dingy bar, his phone tightly pressed to his ear in a meager attempt to drown out the loud music. As the rings poured in, Aziraphale beamed a loose and loopy smile. Alcohol imbued and swaying on his feet, he turned his smile into a furious pout when the other end of the line was picked up.
This is Anthony J. Crowley.
Yes, hello, Mr. Anthony.
Aziraphale's tone was sickly sweet and slurred at the edges. A guy who had been staring at him since he'd first stepped up to the bar slouched on the wall a few inches away. Aziraphale shot him an icy glare.
Who is this?
You don't remember me? I thought you're much smarter. Smarter than that.
Aziraphale?
He clicked his fingers.
Yes, that's the one.
Why are you calling? Are you drunk?
Oh, I've had a few drinks. Who cares?
Aziraphale momentarily moved the phone from his ear to glare at the screen, as though that glare would somehow be received by the person on the other end of the line. When he returned it to his ear, Crowley was already speaking.
Long day, so just tell me, where are you?
What do you care?
He heard Crowley sigh in resignation.
Then is there any particular reason why you called?
As a matter of fact, there is. It's been 2 weeks since the
interview?
Aziraphale nodded.
I'm guessing you just nodded and didn't even think that I couldn't see it. Yes, it's been 2 weeks since we met. And?
You didn't call,
Aziraphale said icily.
What fancy, sexy CEO like you think you're too good for someone like me? I'll have you know that I do impeccably well in my program, and I can quote Shakespeare at will.
He cut himself off at a hiccup before resuming.
And I'm pretty, very pretty. You don't know what you're missing, holed up in that giant cement box as you are.
A few seconds of silence, and then...
Aziraphale, I don't have your phone number. I gave you mine.
Aziraphale's pout fell limp on his flushed face.
Oh!
Now, seriously, where are you? Are you with anyone right now? Because you really shouldn't.
I am Tickety-Boo. Now I really must go.
The cadence of marked propriety returned to his voice, albeit a bit distorted at some points.
A very good evening to you, sir.
Crowley was spouting something mid-sentence when Aziraphale hung up. Full satisfaction coursed through Aziraphale when he turned off his phone. There! He'd finally given Crowley a piece of his mind. Now he could move on and forget about him. The night was still fairly young, or at least he thought it was. Bit hard to tell in his current situation. He'd come in straight after his exams with the firm resolution to rid his mind of any lingering thoughts about tousled red hair, sinfully long fingers, and seductively sauntering hips. The past 2 weeks he'd been a ball of uncertainty, wanting so badly to talk to Crowley, but at the same time fearing having to see him again. Now and then he'd remember the way Crowley had blatantly seemed to undress him with his eyes. Had that only been his imagination, or was Crowley really interested in him? He couldn't do it, though. He couldn't muster up the courage to call. It was much too big an ordeal for him. Much better to play it safe. Besides, Aziraphale was fine being alone and single. He may be a virgin, but he wasn't desperate. He wove his way through the sweaty crowd, for he wasn't sure how long, but when he emerged on the other side, there was the burly guy who'd been staring at him again. Aziraphale vaguely recognized him from philosophy class. He rolled his eyes.
Really, Grant, I told you I'm not interested.
Grant didn't appear to accept that as a valid answer, though. He went up to Aziraphale's side.
Come on, baby, don't be like that.
He slung an arm around Aziraphale's shoulder, pulling him close. Aziraphale's vision went a tad woozy.
Ow!
He said, his voice going tight when something unpleasant curled in his stomach.
Please don't jostle me like that. I don't feel...
Tell me what you need. A bed? I can take you back to my flat, let you get a proper rest.
Aziraphale tried to shake his head, but it hurt to do so.
I don't think that would...
The arm around him tightened to near discomfort, a heavy strain around his neck. Aziraphale attempted to extricate himself from it, but he was being much too sluggish for his own liking. He had the feeling that something unpleasant was about to happen, and the sickening sensation roiling in his stomach raised tenfold when he saw the smarmy grin spreading on Grant's face.
Come on, Aziraphale, it'll be fun.
He was leaning in. Aziraphale's glassy eyes went wide and he pushed on the man's chest, mumbling incoherently and cursing himself for his useless, stumbling feet.
No, 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 no!
God, was it a shitty idea to get sozzled tonight?
The tip of Grant's nose brushed his cheek when Aziraphale turned his face away. He squeezed his eyes shut against the queasiness that still hadn't stopped. The next thing he knew, the weight over his shoulders was being lifted, searing friction rubbing at his nape as the arm was dragged away from him.
"Hey," he said, "no, you ass."
Through the bar's dim lighting, Aziraphale managed to make out Grant stumbling backwards as he grasped his shoulder and glaring furiously at someone behind Aziraphale. Pulse quickening, Aziraphale turned back and saw a tall, red-haired figure hovering above his left shoulder.
"Get the fuck away from him."
Crowley's voice was chillingly calm, though the look in his eyes said murder. Through his drunken haze, Aziraphale felt a twinge of arousal as he stared longingly at his tight jawline.
"Well, hurry up."
Grant glanced between the two of them.
"What the hell?"
Aziraphale licked his parched lips.
"You heard him."
He wasn't sure if that had been the right thing to say, but he reckoned he must have said something right because Crowley's arm slipped around his waist, pressing him tightly to the much sturdier figure.
"I don't want to have to tell you twice," Crowley said.
Grant shook his head and finally walked away. The moment he turned his back, Crowley pulled away from him, which was a shame, really. Aziraphale had been very much enjoying being in his arms.
"Aziraphale," he said sternly, arms crossed over his chest.
"You're here."
He was starry-eyed for only a moment, then he pursed his lips and scoffed.
"I don't remember telling you where I was, so you're a stalker now?"
"What?"
You tracked down my phone, didn't you? That's what all the rich villains do in the films."
"You realize this is the only bar within an hour's travel from campus. I took a guess, and not a difficult one at that."
Aziraphale wrinkled his nose.
"I do so hate when you make sense."
"Look, I was already driving when you called, and I was worried, all right? Did you come here with anyone? It'd be best if you head home."
Aziraphale shook his head and immediately regretted it when a fresh wave of nausea overtook him. Crowley groaned.
"Ugh, then tell me where you live so I can drive you."
"What, so you can stalk me? Bang on my windows in the middle of the night, perhaps use my pillow to murder me in my sleep?"
"Wow, you're definitely a lit major."
"I'm not about to give you that satisfaction,"
Aziraphale said, smug. Crowley brought out his smartphone and scowled at the lit screen. Aziraphale was momentarily entranced with how his long fingers elegantly curled around the gadget. He chewed on his lip, thoughts drifting elsewhere, of those fingers curled around something else. Crowley muttered under his breath.
"If I knew how troublesome you'd be."
"Troublesome?"
Aziraphale gasped, scandalized.
"I'll have you know you're insufferable."
His speech was cut off by a violent wrench up his throat. The next moment, he bent forward, hunched over, as he spilled out his guts all over Crowley's shoes. He was still a little disoriented when he finished, dragging himself up to meet Crowley's face, masked with inscrutable emotion.
I didn't mean to.
Crowley hopped twice on the floor, shaking his foot to no avail.
Shit, oh shit, these are suede.
Aziraphale was sure he had a snarky reply ready at his tongue, or at the very least a coherent apology of some sort. But the dizziness returned full force when he attempted to straighten up, and suede was the last thing he heard before he promptly passed out. When Aziraphale came to, he was sprawled diagonally on an unfamiliar bed, his pounding head wedged into the crevice between two dense pillows. The yellow light that filtered from beneath the blinds let him know that it was already the next day, hopefully still morning. He rolled himself over on the pristine white sheets with a loud groan. Fragments of last night's events slowly trickled into his mind, pouring in like the glass after glass of liquor he'd put into his bloodstream. The loud music. A weird phone call. Someone's arm around his shoulder. A sensation of immense relief hitting him just a second before he'd come face to face with Crowley. Aziraphale sat up so quickly he gave himself a whiplash.
Ow!
He held the side of his head and pressed against a nasty throb. A glance down at his chest showed that he was wrapped in a fluffy white robe with a hotel logo embroidered at the front. Panic rose in his throat as he peered inside. He was still dressed in his undershirt and boxers. Where the heck were his clothes? He opened his parched mouth to try to air it out, wincing when the taste of acid burned his tongue. He had probably puked last night. Not only could he still taste it, he could also smell it, pungent and sticky on his skin, making him shudder with disgust. He had a vague recollection of talking with Crowley, but he couldn't for the life of him manage to retrieve much more. A couple of soft knocks sounded from the other side of the door. Aziraphale breathed heavily, closing the robe more tightly over his chest.
Who is it?
It's Crowley.
Aziraphale wanted so badly to melt into the sheets. He couldn't face Crowley like this. It seemed, though, that he had no other choice. Another throwaway glance around the room didn't help him to find his clothes anywhere. He sat upright, attempting as much of a dignified stance as he could.
Come in!
Crowley stepped into the room and his breath caught in his throat. This was Aziraphale's first time seeing him outside of a slim dark suit. In place of it, he had on a tight black t-shirt matched with a pair of denims wrapping like snakeskin around his long legs. Denims! Aziraphale was absolutely done for.
Welcome back to the land of sobriety, Aziraphale.
Aziraphale huffed and averted his gaze, hating how warm his cheeks felt. This was far too much a dose of sexy to deal with this early in the morning, and on a hangover, no less.
You really are a stalker, aren't you?
Aziraphale said, more out of a reluctance to face his own awkwardness at this situation than anything else. This was the absolute last state he wanted Crowley to see him in.
Why did you take me to a hotel?
Crowley shrugged.
You wouldn't tell me where you live.
Did you undress me?
He asked archly.
Well, yeah, the results of which you now see before you.
You didn't have to do that.
Actually, I did. Your clothes were covered in sick.
Aziraphale's stern pout faltered a fraction.
And where did you sleep?
Crowley smirked, his measured level of calmness grating on Aziraphale's nerves.
You think I can't afford a suite with two rooms, sweetheart?
Aziraphale folded his hands on his lap, squeezing the blankets and probably wrinkling them permanently. His embarrassment only grew as more and more memories poured in.
I'm very sorry to have called you. That wasn't very... I mean, I was not quite myself.
Crowley crossed over to the side of the bed and handed him a glass of water.
Drink this.
Aziraphale took the glass, trying not to fixate on the way their hands brushed, and proceeded to soothe his parched throat. Silently, he set down the glass on the nightstand.
Thank you.
Did you have fun last night?
Aziraphale couldn't resist shooting him a murderous look. Crowley grinned and held his hands up in a gesture of surrender.
It's a genuine question.
In response, Aziraphale rubbed his face and released a soft grunt.
I don't even remember half of it. I am truly sorry for being such an inconvenience.
An inconvenience. Sure, let's call it that.
Crowley perched himself on the edge of the bed, turning sideways to face him.
Gave me an interesting night, though, I'll tell you that.
Aziraphale flushed hotly.
We didn't do any... did we?
Oh, but we did.
Crowley put on a grave expression, nodding slowly.
Nothing turns me on more than a man covered in his own sick, Aziraphale. It's like you know me so well.
Shut up!
Aziraphale snapped, scowling as Crowley began to laugh.
Whatever else it is you're about to say, just shut up!
Crowley gave him a mock pout.
Is that how you talk to a fancy, sexy CEO?
Utterly mortified, Aziraphale buried his reddened face in his hands. He'd really gone and said that to Anthony J. Crowley.
Can we please forget that ever happened?
You're being no fun. Come on, humor me,
Crowley replied. He leaned just a bit closer, brown eyes bearing down full force on Aziraphale.
What if I don't want to forget it?
Aziraphale's breathing hitched. He held the sheets a bit higher up his chest, finding Crowley much too close, though unwilling to pull himself away.
You're not the boss of me.
He inwardly congratulated himself for managing a complete sentence.
I know,
Crowley said, his voice unnervingly deep. This close, Aziraphale could smell clean soap from his skin, mingling with a scent that was distinctly Crowley.
Which is exactly why you're getting off easy right now.
Aziraphale's eyes went wide.
What do you mean by that?
The tip of Crowley's tongue darted past his lips, drawing Aziraphale's gaze to its movement.
Let's just say that I'm of a mind to have you disciplined for that stunt you pulled last night.
A searing thrill ran through him at the odd choice of words. Aziraphale could barely take them all in.
Disciplined?
Crowley's fingers went up to his face, brushing over the soft skin of his cheek, grazing the thin strands of blonde hair beside his ear.
If you were mine, you wouldn't be able to sit down for a week.
Aziraphale's jaw dropped.
How do I become yours?
Was the first thought that rang through his mind. He quickly shook himself out of it. What was the matter with him? Aziraphale did not believe in love at first sight, but second sight, maybe? Because Crowley was captivating right now. His mind tossed and turned around the ridiculous concept. As if Crowley would even consider being in love with someone like him. But he could see in the sparkle of mischief lighting up his beautiful eyes that Crowley liked to be excited. He liked a challenge. Moreover, Crowley seemed to like him. And he could easily be the game that Crowley wanted to play. Aziraphale bit on the corner of his lip, a flicker of satisfaction curling in him when he noticed Crowley's gaze dropping to it.
"Am I ever so glad I'm not yours, then?"
he said haughtily, though he was certain it contrasted with the blush still covering his face. Crowley's hand skimmed down the side of his arm, burning through the thick robe that separated their skin. Aziraphale shivered, highly tempted to lean into the touch. The hand withdrew quickly, and Crowley leaned in to whisper low in his ear.
You won't be for long.
So, I've given it plenty of thought this past week.
The announcement made Crowley drop his fork on the table, pinning Aziraphale with a suddenly grave look. For his part, Aziraphale pretended not to notice. Pretended that he wasn't currently feeling like his heart was about to drop on the floor with sheer anxiety. He cut through his steak with marvelous precision, taking his sweet time in tearing off a bite and putting it into his mouth with a happy moan. Much to his satisfaction, Crowley propped his chin on his hand, leaning forward on his seat.
"About what, Angel?"
"You know what,"
he replied, relishing the feel of Crowley's eyes on him. He loved it when he could hold Crowley's attention like this, even if it were only in the small things.
The agreement.
Still, the thought of translating this dynamic into something more, something that required plenty more touching and likely far less clothing, was incredibly daunting to him. Shy glances and little flirtations were his comfort zone. Those he could readily do, and he loved doing it with no one more than Crowley. It was flattering. The idea that an ordinary chubby uni student like himself could catch the eye of someone like Crowley. But over the past 2 months that they had been going on these little dates, he couldn't help but be wary of how much he showed. He was always careful not to show too much of himself, fearful that he might expose more than he ought to, and Crowley would see something he didn't like. And wasn't that just the most bothersome thing about all this? The 15-page contract that Crowley had mailed him over a week ago sat on his nightstand. 15 pages of negotiated sexual acts written in full legalese. Aziraphale had scribbled in some of his own notes, crossing out a lot of the others, though he had yet to hand it over to Crowley. It was supposed to be a two-way thing, just as much about Aziraphale's needs as it was about Crowley's. But even though Aziraphale knew by now that he could trust Crowley to take care of him, it still felt like a huge step in their relationship, whatever it was at the moment. Crowley raised his brows.
I'm surprised you're actually taking it seriously.
It looks very serious.
You didn't think I actually had the blasted thing, so I showed it to you. We don't have to do it if you don't want to.
Aziraphale knew that he meant well, but the flippancy of his remark made him feel small. Because even if Crowley had sent him the contract as a joke, there was no denying the reason that Crowley had a prepared contract in the first place. He'd done it before with other people, possibly tons of them. Not for the first time, Aziraphale cursed his own lack of experience. He wrenched the edges of his napkin on his lap, speaking in a careful tone.
It was a joke for me, but as I understand it, you have, in fact, engaged in... before.
Crowley softened marginally.
Yes, Aziraphale. I am, in fact, a dominant.
The way he'd said it was so casual, and it only served to remind Aziraphale how very different the worlds they lived in were.
And you have been with people before.
You seem uncomfortable with this.
Aziraphale shook his head.
No, please. I promise I'm in no way judging you. I would simply like to know what I'm getting myself into.
Plain surprise was evident on Crowley's face.
Hang on. What you're getting yourself into? Let me get this straight. You want to be my submissive?
Aziraphale's cheeks went flaming red. Instinctively, he grabbed for his glass and gulped down half of his wine.
Have to be honest, Crowley said. I didn't even think you'd be familiar with that.
Aziraphale rolled his eyes.
I'm a literature student, my dear boy. Of course I'm familiar.
Right. Should have known.
This is in no way a confirmation.
Aziraphale resumed in his usual prim and proper tone.
Merely an indication that I am considering it. However, as per the agreement's terms, I want to negotiate for something in return.
Crowley tilted his head, deeply fascinated.
I'm listening.
Aziraphale willed himself not to blush.
I'm not like you, he began, gathering up his courage. I'm not as experienced. I've never even been in a proper relationship with anyone.
Crowley's lips twitched at that.
A matter that I would like to rectify soon, if you'll let me.
Aziraphale lost the battle with the blood rushing to his cheeks as butterflies surged in his stomach.
Yes, about that. I do think that I'd like that, but I would like to go about it slowly. I want romance.
Oh, Crowley said. I'm not even surprised.
I'd like a proper courtship if you please.
He was embarrassed again, the end of his statement trailing off into a mumble as he shyly glanced back down at his lap. It was exhausting to shift wildly between the extremes of his confidence scale multiple times in one day, but that tended to happen whenever he was with Crowley.
"Courtship," said Crowley, leaning back and shooting Aziraphale a handsome grin tinged with danger. "I think I can do that."
Mr. Crowley will see you now. Part 3 of the Taboo Romances series. Written by Angel Snuffbox and read by Literarian. Chapter 3. As it turns out, Crowley had a rather interesting definition of courtship in mind. Aziraphale had expected candlelit dinners, long nighttime strolls, and maybe a bit of bashful hand-holding. He was a classic, hopeless romantic. Who could blame him? He should have known that Crowley would be subverting his expectations. Over the past 2 weeks, there had been lavish dates and gifts that Aziraphale didn't know what to do with. There now existed a gorgeous watch hanging on a chain of gold that looked woefully out of place in his shoebox bedroom. He'd not yet plucked up the courage to take it anywhere. It felt like something far more luxurious than himself.
"I don't know what you're talking about," Crowley had told him when he'd attempted to decline the extravagant gift. "It suits you perfectly. You're a beautiful person. You should be wearing all the beautiful things."
That was not to say he did not enjoy it all. Because what surprised him the most about Crowley's strange brand of courtship was how almost territorial he was about it. It didn't matter that they weren't technically a couple. Wherever they went, Crowley made sure that everyone knew Aziraphale was there for him and him alone. He made sure to always have a hand on Aziraphale's back, sometimes wrapped around his waist. When they sat down to dine, Crowley would often reach out and take his hand across the table, cradling it in his own while they waited for their food. Each time they went around, Aziraphale felt wholly surrounded by Crowley, and there was a certain thrill to it that he couldn't help but blush to remember. On their first meeting, Crowley had told him that he liked pretty things. Aziraphale knew that to be even more true now that he'd gotten to know him. In his mind, Crowley was a man who held himself to extremely high standards, who only surrounded himself with the lavish, the perfect, and the beautiful. So to be in any way the object of Crowley's affection was deeply flattering for Aziraphale. It thrilled him, being one of the perfect and beautiful things that Crowley liked. As the weeks went on, though, he wondered how long he could maintain Crowley's interest. It wasn't enough to be something that Crowley liked. He wanted to be the thing that Crowley liked best. He'd played it somewhat on the safe side his entire life. He was an introvert and liked to keep to his books in quiet places. Everything with Crowley was so new, so exciting. He craved it like the adventure he'd only ever dreamed of, but never got the courage to chase. The contract was still perched on the corner of his nightstand. Bedtime reading, so to speak. A reminder of what awaited him if he'd only be brave enough to voice out what he wanted. He did have the feeling that he'd been putting it off long enough. He was quite decided that, barring a few more necessary negotiations on the stated boundaries, he would also like to try that dynamic with Crowley. How exactly to tell him that was his much larger concern. The breaking point came at last, 2 weeks after the start of their courtship, and interestingly enough, it was a meeting that had been entirely unplanned on both ends. Aziraphale put on one of his finer outfits. A white jacket over his powder blue shirt sleeves. After a short moment of deliberation, he decided to leave the top button undone, hinting at a bit of his chest hair in a way he hoped didn't make him look like he was trying too hard to look older than his age. He was to attend a charity dinner to support an old friend who had started the whole thing to help out disadvantaged children with their schooling. Aziraphale wasn't a major guest, so he really didn't want to stand out. But at the same time, the event was being held at an upscale hotel and he wanted to look presentable. He had been prepared for a night of reuniting with a few of his old neighbors and bursts of awkward silence in between small talk over the dinner table. He had not been prepared to find that the charity's main sponsor, clad in all black silk, glimmering under the spotlight, was Anthony J. Crowley. Aziraphale was a pile of putty by the time Crowley finished his opening remarks. While he stood on stage, Aziraphale could swear a couple times that Crowley's eyes seemed to lock with his. He flustered, hiding his face behind his glass of water. Crowley approached him not long after his speech, sidling up next to Aziraphale, who stood near one side of the main hall.
"Didn't think I'd run into you tonight," Crowley said, his voice sending shivers of delight down Aziraphale's back.
Aziraphale tried his best not to look too eager. He acknowledged him with a mere tip of his head.
"I didn't think so either. I believe you told me you had other people to do this for you."
He could tell that the remark cracked a little bit of the cool facade Crowley liked to keep, and he couldn't help grinning smugly.
"Some things I simply can't leave to anyone else."
Crowley's hand pressed on the small of his back, caressing the slippery fabric of his jacket and sliding over to hook around his waist. Aziraphale held back a satisfied smile as butterflies erupted in his stomach.
"Can I get you a drink, my angel?"
Aziraphale snuck a glance at him. Up close, he could marvel at how well his suit hugged the firm planes of his chest. Bask in the intoxicating scent of him. His throat was so dry.
"Wine would be lovely,"
he said, his fingers itching to reach out and touch him in return. But he had to restrain himself. Crowley sent him a devious grin.
"Consider it done."
He slid away from Aziraphale and went off in the direction of the bar. That was when someone tapped his shoulder. Aziraphale whirled around, a beam breaking out on his face.
"Hey there, Aziraphale!" "Eric!"
He laughed as they immediately exchanged a hug. "You're looking well," Eric said when they pulled back. Aziraphale scoffed.
"Believe me, I'm being beaten to a pulp by university. This is me on the rare occasion I look human."
"It's good to see you again. How long has it been? 2 or 3 years?"
"Around that, I think so. But I heard about what you and Harriet were doing with this charity, and it really is some remarkable work. When she messaged me out of the blue, I knew I had to come and show my support."
"Thank you, that means a lot to me." Eric took a look around the room, his eyes wide with some childish wonder. "I was so nervous about tonight. Putting it all together made me a wreck." Aziraphale opened his mouth to reply, but he was interrupted when Crowley appeared by his side, smoothly sliding an arm around his waist, drawing a surprised yelp out of the blonde. He tugged Aziraphale close to his side and pressed a drink into his hand.
"The white they had on hand is atrocious, so I got you some Perrier Jouet instead, love."
Crowley's eyes were on Aziraphale alone, as though Eric was nothing but thin air. Aziraphale would have thought it was rude if he didn't secretly relish in it. He smiled gratefully, taking the offered drink in hand and using it to cover the delicate flush blooming on his cheeks. He was still far too easily flustered at having Crowley so close to him.
"Thank you, my dear."
At last, Crowley seemed to notice Eric's presence when he turned away briefly, casting him a sort of bored look.
"Who's this, Angel? Friend of yours?"
Aziraphale cast them both a nervous look.
"Oh, I'm being rude, sorry. This is Eric. We grew up in the same town and went to school together. He's also one of the organizers of this event."
Crowley assessed Eric with an intense look that, understandably, had the latter squirming.
"And... Eric, this is Crowley, my..."
He trailed off, shyly, feeling the full weight of Crowley's stare on himself as he spoke.
"I'm sure you know who he is."
"Indeed I do, sir." Eric's eyes practically turned into stars as he gazed up at Crowley like a fanboy at a convention.
"It is a pleasure to meet you, really. I still can't believe we are breathing the same air."
Aziraphale let out a small giggle at the odd look that crossed Crowley's face.
"Yeah, thanks,"
he replied coldly. Eric did not appear to be the least bit offended.
"If you'll excuse us, I'm taking Aziraphale away for now."
"For as long as you like,"
Aziraphale thought, unbidden.
"Oh, of course."
Eric held out his hand towards Aziraphale.
"It's really good to see you. We should go for drinks sometime."
It required a bit of an awkward maneuver for Aziraphale to retrieve his arm from where it was pressed against Crowley's side. He shook hands with Eric, still beaming.
That sounds great. I'd love to.
Crowley's arm around his waist turned into a vice-like grip. Ciao, Crowley said, sharp and concise, before turning aside and walking away, his hold on Aziraphale relentless.
You do know how to make quite a show, my dear,
Aziraphale said, highly amused at Crowley's bristled response to Eric talking with him. It really was quite adorable.
You think this is funny, Crowley said, eyeing him askance. I can see it. You're trying not to laugh.
Forgive me. I just find it amusing how insistent you can be sometimes.
With what?
With me,
Aziraphale said, tucking himself a bit closer to his side.
Don't pretend you don't like it.
I'm not pretending. I like it very much.
Crowley sent him a sultry look.
Oh?
That doesn't make your jealousy any less amusing, though,
Aziraphale remarked on a stroke of confidence.
Why, we aren't even a couple, and you're already branding me as yours.
The lackadaisical grin on Crowley's face fell to a much graver expression. He turned to face Aziraphale fully, scanning every inch of him with burning brown eyes.
Not a couple.
Aziraphale's lips parted as Crowley leaned in, lips grazing just so on the shell of his ear.
I can have you here, right now, in front of everyone, and I'm willing to bet you'll like it.
Aziraphale's breathing went into tatters.
I highly doubt you'd go through with it.
When Crowley pulled back to meet his gaze, Aziraphale withered at the expression he saw. At the calm fire that burned in his eyes. He felt powerless. Crowley shifted to grab his arm, swiftly leading him out of the main hall and towards a corridor leading to the restrooms. Aziraphale struggled to keep up with his pace, his heart threatening to crack his ribs.
Crowley!
There was a man standing by one of the sinks when they entered the men's room. Crowley didn't spare him a single glance as he dragged Aziraphale into one of the stalls and locked it. Aziraphale blinked slowly in shock, hot in the cheeks, even though he was relieved to find that the stalls of this fancy hotel had full floor-to-ceiling barriers. Still, someone had seen them come in. Was Crowley mad? He didn't have much time to ponder on that. Crowley crowded him into the wall, the edge of the toilet brushing his calf. Firm hands wrapped around his wrists, holding them up beside his head and pinning them to the wall. He gazed up into Crowley's face, finding it much closer than it had ever been before. The tips of their noses brushed.
Did you really think you could say stuff like that to me and not be disciplined for it?
Aziraphale shivered. There was that word again, endlessly echoing in his mind. Disciplined. Snarled low from Crowley's throat, yet less like a threat and more like a promise.
How?
Aziraphale tested the grip around his wrists, gasping when they didn't even budge. In the back of his mind, he knew how very unconventional and unromantic this whole thing was. He'd asked Crowley for a proper courtship, yet here he was, pinned to a paper-thin wall and only inches away from a toilet. But the intoxicating effect that Crowley had on him was in no way lessened, and his arousal grew when he looked into Crowley's lust-blown, pitch-black eyes. It was only natural for him to lean up and capture Crowley's mouth with his own. Crowley moaned directly into the kiss, opening his mouth to draw out his tongue. Aziraphale shuddered at the first brush of hot silk on the underside of his upper lip, and he answered by parting his own lips, moaning in return. They spent their sweet time getting acquainted in this manner, exploring each other's mouths and relishing what was being offered. All the while, Crowley's grip never wavered. A searing reminder of who was in control and which of them was rendered at the mercy of whom. Aziraphale eagerly swayed into him, pressing himself to Crowley as much as he could be allowed. Relief surged through him when Crowley stepped forward instead, feet shuffling as their legs slotted into place, and Aziraphale was pinned entirely to the wall, Crowley's lean-muscled body a steady weight holding him in place. It was heaven. Absolute bliss. Crowley ground his hips forward, pressing his erection on Aziraphale's hip. He took his tongue out of Aziraphale's mouth to whisper breathily against his swollen lips.
"You have to stop me now, or I won't be able to."
"You can have me,"
Aziraphale replied, warmth filling his chest as it occurred to him he meant every word.
"I'm all yours."
Saying the words felt like surrendering, but there was no loss. Only relief and a sense of rightness. Of feeling like he was coming home. Crowley kissed him again. Softly. Gently. He took a brief moment to nuzzle Aziraphale's nose before pulling away with a stern look.
"Turn around and bend over for me."
With the hold he still had on his wrists, Crowley guided him towards the toilet. The shock of the movement had Aziraphale bracing himself with a hand on top of it. Exploratory hands slid up over his shoulders, grabbing at his lapels to slide the jacket down his arms. Aziraphale could hardly believe this was happening. He could feel Crowley all around him, a welcome presence that was devouring him whole. He shrugged one arm out of his jacket, startling when Crowley leaned in and sank his teeth at the side of his neck. He gasped, tilting his head to expose more skin for him. It seemed like the right thing to do. He couldn't even properly take off his jacket anymore. It hung by the sleeve, limp and heavy, over his left elbow. Crowley rutted his clothed erection onto his arse, skilled fingers working Aziraphale's belt and trousers open. Wet lips mouthed at Aziraphale's jaw, tongue swirling at his skin in between breathy mumbles.
"How gorgeous you look like this, my angel," Crowley said. a mess. Bend over just for me.
His trousers and pants were pushed down to his thighs, leaving his backside completely exposed. Aziraphale threw his head back and moaned when Crowley pulled out his cock and applied languid, teasing strokes.
Tell me who you belong to.
He stopped to collect the bead of precum at his tip, swirling it around his head. Aziraphale shuddered, both hands falling on the wall space above the toilet as waves of pleasure pulsed through him.
You, only you.
Say it again.
Aziraphale muffled his scream into his palm as Crowley's strokes became rougher, sliding over his entire length.
You, Crowley, God, just you, touch me, please, please, please.
More filthy words grazed his ear, and he was utterly taken in, rendered a complete wreck, even though he still had most of his clothes on.
Crowley!
Crowley chuckled low, placing more kisses on the side of his neck.
You don't even care that you're bending over for me in a place like this. Knew you'd like it.
Crowley's hand sped up, twisting slightly at the end of each stroke. Aziraphale was helpless, keening when Crowley's other hand palmed his ass cheek, thumb sweeping over to stretch him out so he could slide his clothed erection into the crevice.
But
he resumed the husky tone straight into Aziraphale's ear, drawing out a curl of desire from within him.
This isn't even scratching the surface of what I have in store for you, my dove. Just wait until you learn to become my submissive. I'll wrap you up in all the prettiest things. Gag you, strap you, spank you. Get myself into your tight little ass until you're begging me to let you come.
Aziraphale hunched over, face flushed and gasping. When he'd been reading the contract, he only allowed himself to imagine a small part of it, unsure what he could expect. But right now, Crowley was practically spelling it out for him. Even if it was just dirty talk, hearing it all in his voice only made it clearer that he wanted it. Wanted that life with this unbearably perfect man. He went up on his toes as he approached his climax, alternating between thrusting into Crowley's hand and rubbing his ass on Crowley's cock.
Oh God, Crowley, Crowley, Crowley!
I do love you calling out my name like that. But next time I'd like to hear you say, sir.
Yes, yes, anything, oh, anything you want me to.
Aziraphale babbled incoherently, pleasure mounting up into a fine point and clouding his thoughts as he went after it. Crowley gave a sharp thrust to his rump.
Who do you belong to?
Aziraphale reached back to curl his fingers in Crowley's hair, sighing in content as he came.
I belong to you, Crowley, only to you.
Gorgeous,
Crowley said softly, observing him with intense fascination while he slowed his strokes, expertly guiding Aziraphale's crested pleasure through his orgasm.
fuck. I want to see you look like that every day.
If Aziraphale hadn't come just now, he would have gone hard just from the implication of those words.
Well,
Aziraphale said, breathing heavily once he'd come down from his high.
I suppose that's one way to go about having a first time.
Behind him, Crowley stiffened.
You're a virgin.
Aziraphale turned around and tucked himself back into his trousers. He arched a brow at Crowley.
I was.
But you... this...
Crowley gaped, and it was almost comical. Then Crowley snorted out an uncharacteristic laugh before devolving into a fit of giggles.
I can't believe you.
If you had known, what would you have done?
I don't know. Taking you to a proper bed would have been a start.
Perhaps, but probably not half as much fun.
Aziraphale's lips twitched into a smile. He lay a hand on Crowley's chest, leaning up to kiss him softly on the mouth.
Thank you, sir.
Crowley's eyes went wide and he groaned, one hand palming his still hard cock.
Fuck! Fuck, Angel, you can't do that to me now.
Why ever not?
Aziraphale blinked innocently at him.
You don't know what you do to me.
He gripped Aziraphale's wrist and led him out of the stall. Aziraphale went willingly, feeling lighter than he'd ever been before.
Where are we going?
Up, Crowley said, just as they emerged into the hotel lobby.
I have a room here, and I'm not interested in doing anything else but you.
Aziraphale gasped. This was looking to be an interesting night.
Are you sure?
Angel.
Crowley paused, turning towards him with a devious look.
I have a simple command for you now. Once I throw you on my bed, you're not getting up until I say so. Got it?
It was another call to surrender, but much like the previous instance, Aziraphale felt no loss along with it. He wondered how that could even be possible. How Crowley could make the unfamiliar much less frightening. How Crowley could see him and simply know what he needed. He hadn't imagined all this would happen to him when he filled in for Newt to conduct that interview. He hadn't expected he would find his first romance as well as a person he could call home. He twisted his arm out of Crowley's grip, shifting so they could hold hands instead, and gazed up at Crowley with transparent affection. It wasn't quite love. At least, not yet. But he was already in great danger, slip-sliding on the precipice of it.
Lead the way, my dear.
The end.